Coming up later in the show, new research showing that Indigenous infants are born with a really diverse gut microbiome. What does it mean, and does it potentially mean a healthier early start in life?
And it's got messages for us all in there.
Mm.
But let's go to some good news with a little bit of a twist in the tail. The fifth report has just come out on cervical cancer rates and the benefits of the screening program into cervical cancer in Australia. It's changed. We're looking for the human papillomavirus, and women get screened every 5 years rather than every 2 years. And they're aiming for elimination, I think, by 2035. That's what they're trying to do here, because they think that by the process of screening and immunisation of young people, boys and girls, because boys spread it to girls and boys get HPV cancers themselves, is that the combination of that with the screening, you could eliminate it. So there have been no cases reported in women under the age of 25, which is the first time since records began that that's been noted. Here's Julia Brotherton, who's Professor of Cancer Prevention Policy and Implementation at the University of Melbourne.
We have two amazing tools to prevent this cancer from occurring. The first is HPV vaccination. Now that we know that almost always this cancer is caused by infection with HPV or human papillomavirus. And the second is screening. So we've used pap tests in the past. I'm sure everyone's familiar with that particular experience. If you're a woman, it's not particularly pleasant. But now we have what's called HPV-based screening. It means that we're actually looking for the virus itself. It's a lot more accurate. You need it less frequency. So it's a real game changer. So the combination of vaccinating all our kids against this cancer-causing virus, and then for those of us who are too old to have been vaccinated, having that screening means that it's in reach to actually get rid of this cancer.
And the basis of that screening, which is now once every 5 years, is that assuming that you haven't got HPV, but if you have got HPV, then you are on alert and you're monitored to see whether you get rid of it or not, and whether it changes the cells in your cervix, and then you intervene accordingly.
Yeah, exactly right. So for over 90% of people who have this screen, it'll be completely fine. They'll be reassured they can safely go away for 5 years and not really have to think about it. If you do have an HPV detected, the test is actually looking for the types of HPV that can, if they stay persistently in your cervix for a very long time, eventually result in cancer. The good news is that normally does take a long time, and it gives us time to check the cells there, make sure they're healthy. If we do see any cell changes, that's when you'll be referred to a specialist to have a closer look and have some treatment of those cells if necessary. And the great thing is, you know, this test, well, we call it cancer screening, but it's really preventing cancer. It's trying to find those precancerous lesions so that no woman ever has to face the diagnosis of cervical cancer.
So this progress report, on the surface, looks like good news. Give us the good news before we get on to the caveats.
Australia has a national cervical cancer elimination plan, and we've developed some indicators to track how we're proceeding. And you're right, there is good news. We're actually starting to see perhaps the indication that our cervical cancer rate is starting to go down as we actually head towards elimination. And it is a bit of a race. I believe the Swedes are in hot contention to get there before us. And women are actually starting to really engage, I think, a lot more in the new cervical screening options. So the other thing we haven't mentioned is that HPV screening allows women and people with a cervix to actually take their own test. And that just means that a simple vaginal swab that you can take yourself or with support from your nurse or doctor if you need it, is just as good at finding that HPV DNA that's the basis of the test.
And there have been no cervical cancer cases diagnosed in women under 25. And that's the first time you noticed that since 1982. Were there ever very many of women under 25 getting cervical cancer?
No, I'm pleased to say there were never a lot. Unfortunately, there have always been a small handful of people who, for whatever reason, and it's usually those very aggressive HPV types that are now covered by the vaccine, that in the past may develop earlier cancers. And this is the first time, as you mentioned, since we've had national records that we've seen no cases.
So not only are you finding less cervical cancer, you're finding less human papillomavirus as well.
Oh, absolutely. So before we had our vaccine program, you used to see these massive peaks of HPV infection in young women.
And of course, they catch the HPV from their partner, who's usually male. And you've been immunising boys as well. And one of the fastest rising cancers in males in Australia, particularly white males, has been pharyngeal cancer, which is an HPV cancer. And there's also anal cancer as well. So presumably, although we're not screening men, those rates should be starting to go down as well.
oh, look, we're really waiting to see that turnaround. So I really urge parents and young men who are 25 or younger who can still access that free single dose of HPV vaccine to go and get vaccinated. It really is going to be your best protection against these head and neck cancers. And as you said, anal cancer is particularly nasty cancer. Luckily, it is still rare, but it's such an amazing opportunity to just be able to prevent those cancers from occurring in the first place.
So, Julia, whilst your boundless enthusiasm is fantastic, there is a little dark side to this report, which is immunisation rates are falling, and they're falling greater in boys than in girls, and screening rates are dropping, and there's a huge disparity between non-Indigenous Australia and First Nations people.
Yeah, that is the dark side of this report, as you say. We really can't drop the ball. You know, we've had such a fantastic school-based immunisation program for so long, and then we had COVID. And I really think there's so much happening in that space. You know, schools are under the greatest pressure they've ever been, you know, with teacher numbers.
Are we not doing the school-based program anymore? Or what's
going on? No, we certainly are. But the issue really is that we always assumed that it was quite straightforward to vaccinate 12 to 13-year-olds at school because they would be in school. We now have the poorest school attendance and highest absenteeism rates we've ever seen, and they're not improving. We've got a sector that's under immense pressure. So the idea that you can simply go in and line up the kids and give them vaccines is a lot more challenging than it used to be in the past. And we've spoken to immunisation teams across the country, and they're really feeling that it's a real challenge in this space now. And so I think we need to start thinking a bit more laterally. I think if we can't always capture young people in schools, if parents are just too busy and don't understand the consent form or can't do the digital online consent and all those things, people need to just know that they can always go and get their single HPV vaccine dose from their GP, from their community health centre, from their pharmacist. Whatever way is convenient for you is the right way. If you've got a year seven this year, look out for that, you know, next year, look out for the consent form. If you've got a child who, for whatever reason, wasn't at school that day, make sure that they've had their HPV vaccine. It's really important for their future health.
And in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, first of all, Aboriginal women are getting cervical cancer at a higher rate than non-Aboriginal women, and their survival rate is significantly lower.
I think it's a real black mark against all of us. You know, we've had cervical screening programs in place since 1991. And sure, that gap has come down a little bit, but our programs just have not been meeting the needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. And I think, you know, we're also concerned that school-based immunisation programs are missing a lot of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids as well. So again, I think we need to think laterally. We need to really embrace the whole self-collection option for cervical screening. We're seeing more tests that are given with self-collection. It's almost half of them now across the country. And the absolute highest uptake we're seeing is in people who live in very remote areas, people in the Northern Territory, people in the lowest socioeconomic groups, and amongst older women.
So it's part of the problem with the lower screening rate, the fact that it's gone from annually to every 5 years, and women just simply forget.
No, I actually think it's the other way around. So previously we were asking people to come in every 2 years cervical screening test.
I'm having to do it myself. I wasn't sort of
not
seared
top of
in
mind.
My brain. Right?
But and that's really hard. If you ask most women, they'd say, oh, I never get around to doing it every 2 years. I mean,
so how do women remember? Do they get a recall?
Yeah, so we now have a single national register. And for the first time now, we actually invite people. We let them know before they're due. If people have never engaged in screening, it's still got to be from someone trusted in their community, whether that's their GP or their Aboriginal healthcare worker or their mum or their auntie who's had a positive screening experience. It's probably going to make the difference.
And how aware are young people of the vaccine, do you think?
Unfortunately, a lot of young people don't know that as of 2023, they can go and get themselves a single free HPV vaccine dose and that's all they need. You know, the evidence has moved on from when we started. We were giving three doses to everyone in the school program. It was really hard to get three doses, but now it's just a single dose. So you can talk to your GP, you can go to your pharmacist and get that dose. And it doesn't matter what the reason you missed out was, if you weren't at school that day, if your mum and dad didn't want you to get the vaccine, or if you weren't even in the country, you can now rock up and get your vaccine and give yourself the best protection against not only cervical cancer, but the other HPV-related cancers as well.
Julia Brotherton, who's Professor of Cancer Prevention, Policy and Implementation at the University of Melbourne.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.